Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name to each one this morning, and a special welcome to each one of our visitors. We're very glad to have you with us this morning. Welcome back to Nolan and Katrina. Good to have you guys back, too. Title of my devotional this morning is Gracious Christian Speech. And I don't mean always saying the perfect thing. I'm not talking about being a polished orator. Just regular talk, regular Christian speech. How does a Christian talk? The Bible has so much to say about the ways we should talk. And I'm going to read every single... No, I'm not actually. There's way too many verses in there to try to read every single one this morning. But there's a lot that the Bible has to say about the things that come out of our mouths, the way that we talk, and what those words should look like. I took my title from Colossians 4, verse 6, where it says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Jesus said that his followers are to be the salt of the earth, and their language will reflect the one they follow. This verse also says that our speech is to be seasoned with salt. And it's ironic to me that in our cultural context, if someone refers to salty language, it's not referring to Christian speech. It's not referring to graciously seasoned speech. Quite the opposite. It says, if you have this, you can answer anyone. How do you answer them? You answer them graciously. So what does that mean? Just a few points that I have on gracious Christian speech this morning. The first one is that gracious Christian speech is thoughtful. Matthew 12, verses 36 through 37 say, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." That word idle, every idle word, that means lazy, useless, unthinking, shunning the work that you should do. Instead, just not putting any effort into it at all. And saying those are the kind of words that'll get you into trouble. When you just have unthinking replies, when you don't consider what you should say. Instead, just roll stuff off your tongue. That's the kind of language that takes you ends up often in a poor place. Gracious speech takes work. It takes work to give a thoughtful reply, to think through the things we say. And especially we live in a society that it seems to me sometimes that it idolizes crass speech, foul language, dirty talk. And those are the good things to say. And just idle words, just unthinking replies. It feels sometimes like we live in a society that almost idolizes that kind of language. Those are all idle words. Using the language of the ungodly to express yourself is using idle words. Filling the air and ears of those around you with words that come from an unthinking place rather than thoughtful speech. And here it says that your words actually have a bearing on your destiny. It says you'll be justified by the things you say, or you'll be condemned by the things you say. In Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2, it says, "Be not rash with thy mouth," which means essentially running into things without thinking. "Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few." Rushing to get your words out, rushing to be the first one to say something, can get you into trouble. Trying to be the first one with an opinion, with news, with information, with the answer. So don't be rash. Be thoughtful. And the expressions that you say, every generation has words that are peculiar to their generation. We are shaped in many ways by the words that are used in the society and in the world around us. The English language sounds very differently when spoken today than it did even 100 years ago. Just the way that people phrase their sentences and so forth, it has changed over time. It's very important, young people, as you're developing your speech centers and your brains, that you are surrounding yourself with good speech. Not the idle words of our society, where they are unthinking and they're just rolling stuff out. Like I said, every generation has words that are cool. And I know cool isn't a cool word anymore. It's something else. If you look back through time, there are different words that were peculiar or unique to that era. People no longer say that something is rad. Well, in the 60s, that was very much of a phrase. Something is really neat. That's what they would say. And so that's just an example. We should not be getting our cues on language from society, is what I'm saying. So be thoughtful in the things that you say. Christian speech is clean. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." There's again the word grace in relation to the things that we say. Society deems it acceptable, even funny, or perhaps even a mark of distinction, when someone has such a disregard for the people around them that they're willing to curse in front of people. That's not a mark of distinction. Unclean words are not coming out of the mouth of a Christian. Here again it says that a Christian's speech is graceful. It's edifying, which means it's upbuilding. It builds up those around them. It's clean. Colossians 3, verses 8 through 9 says, "Now put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds." Honesty, being truthful, is part of clean speech. Ephesians 5, 4 says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." That word convenient means things that are fitting, things that are proper. Doesn't mean that we should never laugh. Doesn't mean we should never tell funny stories. Doesn't mean you should never joke around. But it means that there's a time to do those things, but life is not spent in frivolity or in the pursuit of frivolity. Thankfulness comes from understanding the things that we have. Foolish talk comes from not understanding what life is about. Christian speech is clean. Christian speech is restrained. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." In James 3, I'm not going to read this passage, but James 3, verses 1 through 13, it talks a lot about the tongue. And here's some of the things that it says that the tongue is. It says the tongue is boastful. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of iniquity. The tongue is defiling. It's untamable. The tongue is evil. The tongue is poisonous. The tongue is hypocritical. How on earth can we have gracious speech when that's what we have to deal with in ourselves? I think that Jesus gives us the answer in Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35. He says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." And he said something similar over in Luke 6. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." So James talks about the tongue, but Jesus is saying the reason the tongue is a problem is because what's inside your heart is a problem. That's when the tongue says things that shouldn't. He says, uses the word abundance. Abundance is when you have something that is so full, it's starting to run out over the brim. When you pour water into a glass and you keep pouring, it starts running out, that's an abundance. It's so much that it's what spills out the top. So what Jesus is saying is that if your language is ungodly language, it's not because you're having to fish around deep in the depths of your soul and try to find this ungodly language. It's because that's just what's coming out of you, because that's what your heart is full of. So then the answer to James 3, to the antidote to having a tongue that is all these things, is having a heart that is a heart of Christ. Then the abundance of our heart that will spill out of our mouth are words of graciousness. And that's a challenging thought to me. when I struggle to respond in a restrained way. Restraint simply means pulling back from it a little bit, rather than just instantly spilling out what I have, restraining myself, thinking about it before I plunge into it. And when someone is upset at you, or when someone says something that's mean to you, when someone says something that is cutting and cruel and unthoughtful and ungodly and is not gracious Christian speech, the abundance of my heart is too often simply a reflection of what they are saying. And so that's a challenge to me, that I am full of Christ, so that when someone uses those kinds of words to me, I can restrain my words and use words of Christ. The answer to gracious Christian speech is a life that's filled with Christ. And if I'm struggling to keep my speech clean, then I need to start by allowing Christ to cleanse my heart. Unrestrained speech quickly turns into selfish, ungodly, and unthinking speech. In Proverbs 10, verse 19, it says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips," restraint, "he that refraineth his lips is wise." And I saw this quote on a plaque one time. Said, "A wise man once said nothing." Yet, Christian speech is present. It's more than just being silent. Doesn't mean we just don't talk. In Proverbs it says, "Even a fool, if he holds his tongue, is counted wise." So even a fool can do that. Christian speech is present. God speaks to us, and then through those words we speak to others. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 8 talk about this. It says, "According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." And I think that's the key there, Christ in us. "Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound," so there we're talking about that abundance again, "they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And if we're abundant in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, those will be our words, because that is what will spill out. A quote I ran across said, "God gave you two ears and one mouth. Use them proportionately. Listen well and speak well. Wise speech comes from one who listens well, doesn't respond quickly, and doesn't get angry easily." Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." So Christian words are present. They are given, but they're healthy. So although there's a misuse of speech and there are dangers to avoid, we should still speak. There's a lot of good that is to be done by gracious Christian speech. And it influences the world around us. I'm sure many of you have experienced similar things where I've had people talking to me and they use a swear word and they apologize. I never said anything to them. I didn't condemn them, but they could tell by the way that I was speaking that I didn't use those words. And so there was something in the words that I said that let them know who I am. And there's a lot of good that's to be done with gracious Christian speech. People notice the way that you talk. It's not the first thing that people notice about you, but it's one of them. What if a doctor would refuse to treat a patient because he's heard that other doctors have mistreated or misdiagnosed patients, so therefore he's simply not going to treat anybody? And so we need to approach our language in the same way. Just because we're afraid we're going to say something wrong, we never say anything at all, is not the right approach. We need to look to God to give us gracious words to speak. And then we just try our best. And we apologize when we say something that we shouldn't. We apologize when we're wrong. We forgive others. who have said something mean or cutting to us, something that is wrong. And then we carry on. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Christian speech is present, sweet, and healthy. So in conclusion, choose words of grace, words of restraint, and words of righteousness. And I'm going to close with a verse out of Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.